on 1116 SEN. The Right Time with Gavin Krasiska, Nick Hall and Mark Fine.
It is time for the Right Time. Gavin Krasiska looks more sprightly than last week's jet-lagged version, but are you 100%? Are you full rats pace?
No, I'm still a little bit in Disneyland, to be honest. I'm a bit vague and slow. I'm still tired and had a rough weekend. Oh, I didn't have a rough weekend, but our houses had a rough weekend. So coming back Monday and issues from the weekend, it's sort of you get slammed into a brick wall with it. So I'm a bit dazed and confused.
Now, when Gavin says our houses had a rough weekend, he's not talking about his extensive property portfolio. He's talking about...
I wish. 28 years of using, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that's a tale in and of itself. But he's talking about sober living housing. McKinnon, is that right?
Carnegie. Yeah.
And it's a residential facility. We'll find out a bit more about that. But Gavin was overseas expanding his knowledge base on alcohol and drug help, which is the intervention element of his professional life. We'll also talk about that, but we'll do it with the principle of DAHAB. Now, DAHAB is, or was famously, exclusively an outpatient treatment service where those who felt that their addiction would be best served to be treated by not staying in a facility for any length of time, 24/7, but now that is extended to also include residential care as well, so it's both beasts. And speaking of the beast, Mick Hall is back in town. Hello, Mick.
Top of the evening, Finey. Top of the evening to you too, Gav.
Good evening.
I've got to say, with that, you know, with the Right Time song at the start of this segment, gee, I'm glad we don't stop that before that drum roll kicks in. I just have to say that.
You're an old drummer, though.
It's a feet tapping.
Our special guest tonight, he'll be joining us after our first break, is Jeff Jowett. And Jeff is a, to all extents and purposes, and outwardly, he is a highly successful businessman, a midlife crisis preventer. His organisation, or his company, Body Trim, and he's also got a new business with involving gyms, but his Body Trim has been successful in losing weight for tens of thousands of Australians and overseas, I believe, as well. And it would maybe surprise some people to know that he is constantly vigilant, because as an addict in recovery, he is, like Mick Hall and like Gavin Krasiska, fully cognizant of where he could end up if he wasn't aware of the fact that he has an illness that needs to be attended to on a daily basis.
Yeah, and look, and without sort of getting into his story yet, we'll let him explain that at about 9:30 when we speak to him. But he's got a remarkable story, you know, and he had his stop starting, you know, into recovery like a lot of us do, and you know, it's just without revealing anything, he's got a pretty amazing story.
But given that money is at times, it can be the greatest problem in somebody's recovery. You've spoken about it, and Gavin can speak to it as well. But
yeah, I haven't spoken about having money.
But but money and you are kept separate. Sort of ready hard cash because of how you treated it during your addiction. So money is central to addiction, because either it's gambled or it's spent on substances or on drink, and it's the...
When you have easy access to large sums of money continuously, it's very, very difficult to come to a real severe rock bottom, because you've always got that out of being able to use the drug again. So usually with someone who's got, you know, success behind them, you know, and access to cash, they've normally got to really crash psychologically and emotionally before they put it down.
And as agents of change, both of you, You've said many times previously that the best time to get an addict is when they are rock bottom, when they are faced with the prospect of no roof over their head, no food in their belly, no drugs in their veins, no drugs up their nose, no alcohol, etc., etc. So that's the time to get them. But there are addicts who, and especially not speaking specifically about Jeff here, but certainly in the public profile, people that we would call, for want of a better term, famous, there's been many addicts there that have sought help and recovery, and part of the equation is not that anything but that rock bottom in terms of material possessions, but certainly emotionally they are way rock bottom.
Absolutely, and I guess that, you know, most of us, not everyone, but a lot of us have got family or someone that loves us, and they become greatly affected by, you know, by the addiction. And And, you know, normally, you know, if the money hasn't run out, but when if the wife or the kids decide they're going to walk, that can be a real emotional and psychological crisis for people.
And it's bottom lines coming to play through an intervention there, Mick. It's
absolutely.
You can raise that rock bottom, finally. Very simply, give us a call at Alcohol and Drug Help.
Your intervention work,
we
didn't get to discuss it last week, was expanded upon by your trip to the United States. And am I right in saying that you actually made contact with the people or some of the people behind that the TV program, which for many of us is our understanding of intervention comes through that TV program? Is it called Intervention?
Yeah, Intervention is a TV show. It's Ken Seeley. Ken Seeley and his partner run a sober community of about 180 beds, I think. They're basically, and Ken's obviously made a lot of money over the last 15 or 18 years. They bought a couple of old motels, you know, the old Bates Motel type look. Double story where they can house them. And it's, look, it's quite an interesting program. So they're obviously post-treatment. I think they're post 3 months. And they do a lot of monitoring and they keep check on the people that they have. And it's based on living skills. And the program we sort of run is a little bit based on what the guys do over there. But it was really interesting. Their model, that was in Chicago, their model is similar to the model, obviously, on the TV show. But then I went and did Love First, which you may have heard of, Jeff and Deborah J.
Yes.
And you'll see, if anyone's out there that's got a concern with families, look up Deborah J. She's a fantastic author and has got a lot of books out there. Love First is a book which she explains the way they do interventions. And I wouldn't necessarily promote you go and do your own intervention, but it's quite possible from the information she gives you in the book. They're so open and free with their information. It was really, really nice. And that was in Palm Springs. And their focus is just so much about the family and getting that family into recovery. Obviously, if you have family, it's difficult if you don't. But if you're a different sort of type of addict where you don't have family members, you know, there's always, most times, there's someone around the outsides that you can class, whether it's people that you met through NA or AA or whatever it may be. And, it's just solidified, I guess, the training Belinda's been doing with me, and it's basically reinforced the fact of how much we need people to know what an intervention is here in Australia. Because it's not about waiting for those rock bottoms, it's about lifting the rock bottom through influence and leverage in a loving way. It's not, you know, dragging them into treatment. And just showing them a different way. And the other thing we need too, Mick, was which Blyn and I are having issues in terms of where we refer.
Yep.
Because a part of the intervention process is completely setting up the treatment, matching treatment places, and we struggle a little bit to find where to send them here. And we have sent them to some places in Melbourne, but we're basically intervening on them. The family do the intervention, and instead of sending them straight into treatment, we're sending them to a place where they've got to do an assessment.
Okay.
And then once they're okay through the assessment, they've got to wait for a bed. So it might be another week afterwards before they get a bed.
Okay, so you need a stream straight in.
Smooth sailing straight in.
So the intervention doesn't, even though they're both places where you're involved, the intervention doesn't take you straight to sober living?
Look, we will treatment match. If we don't suit everyone, finally.
Yep.
So we would prefer to keep our hands off the initial...
Yeah. 28 days or
the initial treatment stage. We still do that and are capable of doing it. But I guess when you've got people that are, you know, we've got the people in our main house that have got 6 months clean time up, and then when you have someone that's detoxing,
it can make it messy.
So we'll take one every now and again, but we don't do it all the time.
And the real, even though we've got to take a break and we'll catch up with Jeff Jowett in a moment, something we might explore next week, doesn't it become enormously complex, both in the intervention stage, but then absolutely where you place an individual, is the element of the association between their addiction and underlying mental health issues.
Mm. Yep, needs to be all taken into effect, yeah.
And that's an enormous unravelling, isn't it, that is central to the discussion and has to be central to the treatment.
Of course. Well,
as Mick always says, there's generally some underlying issue with the addiction, but you can't treat the underlying issues until you treat the addiction. And something will normally pop up, whether it's anxiety or some sort of depression, for a period of time. You're generally going to be depressed as soon as you stop taking drugs.
Well, of
course, the
dopamine stops.
Yeah,
the dopamine stops, and of course, that's the you're going to need
pleasure.
You're going to need to feel that okay somehow. And also, I mean, with people that are taking drugs, you know, if you're on a massive high, then you've got to come down. Or if you've been taking downers, or you've been drinking, which are all depressants, you're going to be depressed.
Mm.
Big discussion points. We will certainly discuss them, but maybe not tonight, because after the break, it's a story of, I don't know.
Let's find out.
I'm looking forward to finding out. Is it inspiration? Is it battle? Is it courage? Is it winning? Is it losing? I do know the bloke, though, not personally, but through his ads. Body Trims, Jeff Jowett, after the break. TheRightTime.com.au. And I'm going to hand it over to you, Mick, because our special guest this evening is somebody that you know.
Thanks, Finey. Yeah, look, I'd like to introduce Jeff Jowett. He's a guy who developed and is the principal of a product called Body Trim. He's an entrepreneur. He developed and started the chain of PT studios called Vision PT. He's a high-performance guy. On top of all that, he's a ripping bloke. And on top of all that, he's also an addict. Welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you going?
Good, mate, good. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Yeah, you know, problems at all. Happy to be here.
Mate, do you want to just kick us off by just telling a bit of your story, if you don't mind?
Yeah, sure, love to. Mate, over the years, for me, I think everything I've done has been 150%. Business, life, sport, everything. And when it came to booze, mate, same sort of deal. One's too many and 25's not enough, you know. And I'm 38 years of age now. But in my 20s, it wasn't so much of a drama. But still quite a binge drinking problem, though. But mate, being in Australia, you don't realise, because Aussies drink, right? So you don't realise that you got probably a drinking problem, and you'd have a blackout here or there. And, mate, I didn't know that was a problem. And, you know, I went through my 20s, but still very, very, focused and working very, very hard all the time. But, you know, I'd very rarely have one or two drinks when I did drink. Fast forward into my 30s and really through the Body Trim era, again, I'm very healthy in terms of the foods I'd be eating and most of my lifestyle. But when it came to alcohol, mate, again, it was a real binge drinking problem. So I got to 2012... the January of 2012, and I was just having a lot of big nights. And, mate, I decided to go off the booze, and I stopped drinking for 2.5 years, cold turkey, but pretty much just white-knuckled it, as they say. And
how was that?
I replaced one addiction with another, didn't I? I got into competitive bodybuilding.
So that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So I got right into that. And that was good in many, many ways, because I knew that if I was going to take something out of my life, which was the socialising with the alcohol, and Sydney, like a lot of big cities, is a very fast pace. And, you know, I'd had a little bit of success and, you know, a lot of people wanted to hang out and have a drink. And there was always a reason to have a drink and a party. And all that sort of stuff. But I didn't think I was a problem. It was a problem because, you know, for a long, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I don't drink in the morning. I don't, you know, I don't drink by myself, all these sorts of things. But obviously it was problematic, and I did realise that coming into 2012. So I gave up the booze, as I said, but 2.5 years. And but, mate, I became quite reclusive because I never really understood it. And I started to resent people. You know, I'd go out and everyone would be having a drink and I'd be like, oh, I know I really shouldn't because when I start, I can't stop. So I stopped going out a lot, really at all, and I became a bit of a hermit. And then last year I moved to Melbourne and I started having a few drinks again. And it was okay for a short period of time. But as we know, it's a very progressive alcoholism. And by this point, you know, maybe the first couple of times I'd have a drink, I'd have one or two. But then pretty quickly, I'd be having massive nights and blackout. And I had to fly to LA last year for business. I was going back and forth. And I was in LA and I had a couple of big nights in a row. And luckily enough, the people I was with were with they who I do some business with. They go, mate, you know, well, I think something's not right here. I think you need to go and, you know, get some help. And I said, I think you're right. I was worried myself. I thought, what's going on here?
What was it, Jeff? Was it the blackouts that scared you, or was it what was happening in the blackouts? Or
no, it was the blackouts, but also like, why am I drinking so much?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, everyone else has a drink and they'll have one shot, I'll have four. Or, you know, it's not, once I get pissed, I just can't stop. It's like I just gain momentum. The thing about me is I don't get violent, I don't get aggressive. So all the people I was going out with having a drink, mate, the next day they're like, that was the best day, that was the best night of my life, Jeffro. Oh, Jeffro, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, mate, what did I do? What happened? How did I get home? Like, oh, don't worry about it, man. It was awesome. Now, after that happened a dozen or so times, you start to think, this is not normal. This is, something's not right here, because everyone else is remembering stuff and I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm not like I'm slobbering around and whatnot. So to the naked eye, I look fine, but I wasn't fine. Mm. Anyway, so I went and did a rehab stint last year for a week in the US because I happened to be there at the time, and it changed my life. The best thing I've ever done, because I got educated, and it was...
What did they teach you, Jeff? Give me a bit of a snapshot of what you learned.
Well, the first thing, mate, I bailed up the doctor there one night for an hour and a half, and I just asked him all about, you know, being an alcoholic. And cause when I got to this rehab facility, I thought, this is overkill. You know, there's no way I'm, you know, this is not me. And then I quickly realised that I am. I'm a binge-drinking alcoholic.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Binge drinking, not, you know, that's the thing about, you know, the trouble, what I'm passionate about, rather than people go, oh, I'm an alcoholic, you know, because there's different types, right?
Yep.
So some people are alcohol dependent every day. It was just once I start, I can't stop a lot of the time. And you read the Alcoholics Anonymous book, and anyone who's got this condition, you know, it's written about them. It's like, oh, that's me. So anyway, I got into this place and I was talking to the doctor and I said, look, is some of this genetic? And he says, it's 100% genetic. And that changed my life because I said, what do you mean? He goes, look, what happens with you? You have a drink and you produce 20 times the dopamine of a normal person. And then your reward pathway and the frontal lobe, and you just can't stop because of this dopamine. I'm like, so it's genetic. So
smart doctor, mate. He's spot on.
Yeah, so he was an addiction specialist in a facility there on the East Coast. So it was all the thing about addicts, right? This is for anyone listening. There's no such thing as a dumb addict. Dumb people don't get addictions. These people in this facility were some of the smartest people I've ever met. Wall Street guys, brokers, celebrity chefs, all these different people, but smart. Like some of the most thought-provoking, engaging conversations.
Jeff, just a moment. We're just losing you a bit. It's getting a bit crackly. Could you do the old one step to the left? I don't know why, but it works.
Are we all right now?
It works.
Mate, perfect. Spot on.
We're good?
We're good.
Yeah. So these people were so bright, so switched on. Some of the most engaging conversations I've had in my life with these people in this in this facility. I was only there for a week. It was a sort of a, like a crash course because I had to get back to business. I had to get to New York and get on with it. It was normally a 30-day program, but I sort of did a 7-day intensive, and it was really good. I just wanted to go there and learn. And the thing for me is once I know something, I'm really good. I didn't have the knowledge. When I gave up cold turkey, I didn't properly know that I was an alcoholic. I didn't understand it. I didn't know that I actually shouldn't and couldn't drink. And a very dear friend of mine, and she won't mind me saying this, but her name's Talitha Cummins, and she's a newsreader with Channel 7. And she's on Weekend Sunrise and does the weather and all over Channel 7. And Talitha is an alcoholic as well. And she's married to one of my best friends, Ben Lucas. And we used to speak a lot about it back in 2012 when I gave up for the first time. And she said, look, Jeff, you've just got to realise you can never have a drink again. And I thought, oh, that's a bit full on.
that'll bring a tear to your eye.
I thought, I can't calm down. That's what alcos do, but that's not me. Because I wasn't armed with knowledge. I didn't know. I didn't understand.
Didn't know what you were dealing with.
No, I didn't know what I was dealing with. So, and I, you know, as it would be, she was exactly right. But I needed to have that, I guess, relapse last year to realise that, go and learn. And I really haven't looked back. It's been fantastic for me because I say to people, if you're allergic to peanuts, you don't eat peanuts. So it's that simple. And some people are allergic to alcohol. And thing is, a lot of people go, oh, yeah, yes, that's not me. But you know what? It could quite possibly be. I've got one or two friends in my life. Absolutely, they are, just like me. But they're not in a position to really look at themselves and come to that conclusion. So that's fine. They've got to work that out for themselves. But, you know, having blackouts once or twice a week, that's ridiculous. And it's not normal. And apparently it should only happen once or twice in your life, not once or twice a week. Right? So I'd get home and I'd find that McDonald's wrappers and I'd be like, oh, I must have gone to Macca's. Ha, ha, ha. You know?
Yeah.
Standard. Like, that's just not normal. So I think there's a lot of people out there. The thing with alcohol is it's everywhere, and it's, you know, if you've got a bit of dough, it's very much what you do. You're going to have lunch, you're going to have dinner, you have a few drinks, you kick on. And in a culture, in the culture in Australia, it's very much the done thing. And some of us, I think it's 10% of people, if there's not a parent who's got the problem, you know, it's just 1 in 10 have got the genetic predisposition, and that's me.
You drew the lucky straw, Jeff.
Mate, I drew the lucky straw, but I've also got OCD. So it's just a double whammy. It's like kerosene on the fire, mate, with me. So I've just got to...
So you've got to use your powers for good and not evil, is that...
One of my best buddies, he said to me, he goes, mate, if you use your powers for good, you'll change the world. If you use it for evil, you'll blow it up.
So Jeff, tell us about the powers that you've got with this body trim stuff. What's the story with that?
Oh, mate, well, Body Trim was something I put together in 07. It was a weight loss coaching program, which has been great, helped nearly 1 million people. And then we went and did protein bars and foods. And now I'm also doing another coaching program called Trim for Life, which is a weight loss coaching app. I got into apps for smartphones because it's a lot more, I guess, usable. Everyone's generally got a smartphone these days. So, yeah, Body Trim, Trim for Life, different coaching programs I love creating because, well, I don't know, my parents were both school teachers and I just like helping people be their best. And for me, you know, now I'm very much living an authentic life I am very much aligned with my values. I was always aligned with my values, but I just lost the booze. That was my Achilles heel. I didn't understand it. And if anyone out... The thing is, if anyone out there listening, you know, when I think to myself, do I feel like having one drink? I couldn't think of anything worse than having one drink. It's the worst idea in the world, but 10's awesome. 15's even better. Then you have had a drink. One is the worst thing I've ever heard of. It makes you a little bit tired. It doesn't really do much, but 10 or 20 is awesome. If you're listening to this right now, guess what? You're an alcoholic. I went in NLA, I went and saw a counsellor. And she did like an 18 question check. Are you an alcoholic? Whatever, something like that. There's like a blooming
20-point check. Yeah,
20-point check. Right. Get this. She goes, look, if you answer one, yes, you might be. Two, you probably are. And three, yes, you absolutely are an alcoholic. I answered 18 out of 19. Or not, I blew it out of the water. And I'm sitting there in Beverly Hills there in this, you know, old duck's bloody clinic. And she goes, well, geez, you know, do you want to take a moment? How does that make you feel? I said, relieved.
Yeah,
I
that's...
feel good because I've got clarity.
You know what's wrong then, yeah, for sure.
I said, it's a bloody breakthrough.
Isn't it amazing when you actually, you know, you get that information, but it, you know it's true. It's like you don't just intellectually know, you know it deep inside. You know, like when you read that book, the AA book that you were talking about.
Oh, how good's that book? I was powering around this joint, Clarity Way I went to, Clarity Way on the East Coast. And, mate, all the people in there, they'd all been in there for a month or so. And they said to me, you would come in the joint, Jeffro, and you pumped us all up. You just got so enthusiastic about it. And that's what I do with everything, you know, business, sport, hobbies, interests. I just give it 150% and the piss as well.
Well, the guys at Dayhab, Jeff came into Dayhab during the week and had a talk, came in with harps and had a talk to the guys. And they're still banging on about it, Jeff.
Oh, that's so kind. It was really good. Thank you for that opportunity for me to share and meet them. They're a great bunch.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. And you know, I know it is for you too, and one of the reasons why I asked you to come on the show tonight, it's, you know, for the listeners, it's an awesome, you know, like you've been awesome tonight, but it's good for you too, you know, just like it's good for us talking about this stuff, you know, it's also therapeutic for you. And
mate, absolutely it is, and it's just getting around the people. Like, the thing is, as I said, these people I met at Clarity Way, some of the smartest people I've ever met, everyone, Talitha, my newsreader friend, everyone's smart. And you know, it's just that addictive nature. Some of us have got it, and it's all, you know, that with alcohol, it's the genetic piece, and it's just about not fighting it, but also having awareness. So, you know, like I could go tomorrow and have one beer, and I would have one beer, but next week or the week after, I'd have 15, and then off I'd go again, and it just gets worse, and it's progressive, as we know. Like, every time you stop and then you start again, it's, you pick up from where you left off, but it's even more full on. So it's really a trap for people. And I think alcohol's the worst, because it's not like you can bowl into the local pub and go, give us some heroin, but you can bowl into the local pub at 12:01 or 11:01 and go, mate, give us a schooner. I'm a bit dusty from the night before. The barman goes, oh, you poor blokey. You go, mate, this will make it better. Meanwhile, you're feeding an alcoholic. It's really... really bad. And look, you know, I'm passionate about this. I've said this a few times. I love helping people lose weight, but I've never been overweight myself. But I've battled this myself. So that's why I love talking about this, and hopefully maybe inspiring some other people to look into it if they can relate to any of this. And I reckon the telltale thing is, if you have one or two drinks and you feel like that's just a warm-up and you want to rip in, that's not good. But... I know some people who, they literally, they'll have one drink and they go, no, that's all I want. I couldn't think of, I don't want any more. That's not me. Never has.
I don't understand that either.
No.
Jeff,
no.
There's so many people that listen to this program in a situation where they would feel that their lives are complex, and there are excuses. There are reasons why they're not facing their addiction, or they might be friends or family members of people for whom addressing addiction, taking on rehab, getting into serious recovery is, there are excuses, so many excuses why not to do it. Now, I would have thought somebody with a national profile, with a million-dollar business, multi-million-dollar business, had plenty of reasons why not to go public with your battles with addiction, and certainly if not addressing it, well, you might have done that in private, but you would have been perfectly within your rights to say, you know what, this is just going to impact possibly negatively on my business, I'm not willing to do it. What do you say to people that have all the excuses in the world why not to address their addiction?
I just think you have a great sense of relief when you do, and for me it's about, I think there's nothing more I respect more than a person's honesty with themselves and with other people. And for me, I've always been, you know, I practice what I preach with my fitness and my nutrition and my overall, in for the most part, my lifestyle, but the booze would get the better of me. But I didn't understand it. So So I didn't think, I wasn't going on national TV going, I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not admitting it. I didn't realise I was. I didn't realise. I just thought I'd, like a lot of people, when I have a drink, I have a real good one. So I didn't understand. And it's only been recently that I really fully understand it. So, and as a result of that, like anything, once I worked out how to teach people to lose weight, I created Body Trim. And now I understand this. I want to share this as much as I can, just as a first-person testimonial, if you will. But
it's brilliant. We've got to take a break. Jeff, would you be able to hang on a couple of minutes? Because this program is, in its very essence, all about sharing the testimonial, sharing the word, and making people more aware. But for a man that made weight loss almost synonymous with your own product, I'd love to hear from you, and we would love to hear from you as a listening public, as to how this message can be spread quicker and better than it is at the moment.
Awesome.
Hi, guys. Tonight's program has brought back many memories. I was once told one beer is too many and 100 not enough. I eventually gave it away and have not had a drink in 25 years. There you go. Great interview with Jeff tonight. It's one of the great downsides to what you sometimes think is the upside of life. And that probably speaks to success and celebrating. Jeff Joward is our special guest tonight. If you've watched any morning TV, as I have. Well, if you don't like the ad with Body Trim, don't change the channel, because it's on the other channel and the other channel as well.
But
they're great. I mean, you are synonymous with not only the notion of weight loss, but have a crack. It's like, come on, have a go. And I think the whole operation is set up. If you don't like it, send it back, or the first month is for free. But it's basically get up off your ass, have a go, and if it's not for you, no worries. No heavy commitment. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. And I think that was the same thing with me with the booze, wasn't it? It was just, mate, I had a red hot go. I didn't poke around at that either. But we said earlier, I remember, because I started a personal training company in my early 20s with a good mate of mine, and back then, you know, I wouldn't drink Monday through Friday or Thursday at all. But then big drink Thursday night.
It's slow and insidious, this, isn't it? Like the progressiveness with alcoholism can come on you, sneak up on you kind of, you know, covertly.
It's out of control. And it wasn't until I went to rehab that I realised, no one told me, you know, Talitha, my friend who's an alcoholic, she told me it was progressive, but I hadn't been to AA, I hadn't been to rehab, I didn't understand it. And then people are like, it's completely progressive, this is how it works. You pick it up, you give up for 20 years, you pick it up, you have one drink, whooshka. It's heaps worse than it was when you stopped. It's very scary. It's a slippery slope for people who've got the condition. And that's the message out there. And I think the big thing for me, you said before the break, Jeff, what would you... You know, you're passionate about helping people lose weight. That's what we did with Body Trim, and now Trim for Life. We systemise weight loss. And I don't know, I've got a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and people say that's addictive around me. And I love helping people. And when I turn my attention to this, I think the big thing here is I want to raise awareness about binge drinking alcoholism, because I think a lot of people have that condition. Very different to being, I think, alcohol dependent every day, you know, having a bottle or two of wine every day versus when you drink, you can't stop.
Well, it's a justification, Jeff, to say that I'm not an alcoholic because I don't drink during the week, because there's a false thinking out there that you need to drink in the morning or you need to drink every day. And yeah, it's just an incorrect thought process.
Jeff, we've got a caller and he's been waiting patiently, but absolutely going to give him his choice to be, a chance to be part of the program. Chris has called in from Forest Hill. Good evening, Chris.
Hi, Funny. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for hanging on.
Yeah, I've just been listening to your conversation, and how do I say it? I'm probably very much in the same court as him. Would have one beer, think nothing of it, have 10. You know what I mean? I just feel like I have to keep going.
Yeah, we sort of call it getting the taste, you know, like you get one and then just that sort of, you know, that insatiable thirst comes and and you keep going. Is that what you're talking about, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, my 16-year-old daughter and I sit down here and we say, well, let's cut one bind each night and everything like that. And it works for a while, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it sort of reverts back to where you kind of left off.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you looking to try and turn it around, or what are you going to do?
Oh, well, I want to, yes. But, I'm bringing up three kids by myself.
It's a big job.
Obviously I can't leave them for long periods to go and do it. But, I know I have to do something.
Have you ever tried AA?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, how long ago was that?
About 2 years ago.
Are you willing to give it another crack?
I couldn't get into it, to be totally honest.
You know how we were talking about the alcoholism can be progressive, so over time it can get worse?
Yeah.
And so sometimes when someone tries AA, they're not quite at a point where they're really kind of able to kind of take that stuff on. But yep. Then as the time lapses, the addiction gets worse, and so the need for some external help becomes greater. And so when a person goes back and sometimes visits those places again, like AA or NA or other places, even a year, 2, 3 years later, they often walk in and find that, oh, hang on a minute.
They hear things differently.
Yeah, they go, gee, there's something here. Mm. So I guess what I'm saying to you is don't discount something that's there, ready, available for you, without giving another crack.
Thanks a lot for the call, Chris. Jeff, we thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I'd like to read out one SMS that I think will put you in a pretty happy place, because, as you said, you're passionate not only about addiction, but more specifically, something that was particular to you, and that was the binge drinking element of alcoholism.
Yes.
So this was an SMS received tonight, and just shows how valuable it was for you to come onto the program. And it reads thus: "You are absolutely right. I don't drink every night, but I'm an alcoholic of some description. It's only a fairly recent thing, maybe the past 12 months, but two blackouts a week is just not right. It's still fun sometimes, but not healthy. So thanks for striking a chord, Michael in Rosebud, and I think you might have just turned somebody on to what might be, or probably is, a problem." And that's
awesome.
And that's made...
Good on you, Jeff.
Good on you, Jeff.
And if it's only one person that we help every week,
yeah,
then it's worth it. Then it's,
no, no, and having one or two of them a week, that's just not normal, and I definitely found that out when I went to the rehab in the US, and you don't realise it when you're in it. It's not one or two in a lifetime, I think, is normal. But if anyone's listening, you just got to come to the realisation that it's not for you, and, you know, pick up a hobby again. Also, I got around friends. I'm engaged. My fiance doesn't really drink. Like, if you've got this problem and your partner just loves getting on the booze, well, that's probably not going to work.
Jeff, I want to thank you. Sorry, mate, but we are done for the hour, but we're certainly not done with the message. And
no worries.
And we thank you, and you are an inspiration in a very, very Australian way.
Good on you.
Good on you, mate. Thank you, Gavin.
No problem, mate. I enjoyed myself.
Sober Living House is on 95781746. 95781746. And Dayhab, of course, 1-800-329-422. 1-800-DAYHAB.
Correctamundo.
We'll do it again next week.